Joining us on the phone, guy that threw that pass.
Yeah.
Stone Labanowitz, welcome to In the Doghouse. Welcome back.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. All right, we finally got our act together over here. See, we're so riled up about this game here. You know, we're pressing buttons we shouldn't be pressing, and we're still giddy about this thing. 34-31 over Weber State. Have you come back down to earth since a couple days ago?
I think so. I mean, right, that's the name of the sport, right on to the next. But finally coming down, slowly but surely, landing on my feet, no doubt.
Now, that throw to Combs, 51 seconds left, was that how it was drawn up?
Hey, nobody believes me, but that's exactly how it was drawn up.
Good,
So originally we didn't have that play call on. We had another one on where I was going to have to bang a slant on either side, but I figured it'd be foggy, and Coach Rowland offered a different play call to Coach Hill, and Coach Hill asked me, hey, are you confident with this? And I told him I was, and I don't think he saw the confident look in my eyes, and he looked at me and said, are you sure? And I was like, Coach, I'm sure, let's do it. So we flopped a few guys around, found the matchup with Branson, and went up with his mitts and made that grab. But exactly how we drew it up, to be honest, which is the coolest part about it.
How often does that happen where, you know, Nick Hill, riverboat gambler, can be swayed into a different play call?
Not very often, but I feel like as an offense, we're kind of coming into our groove. And Coach Rowland kind of threw him the alley-oop, and me and Coach Hill kind of dunked it home. And me and the boys kind of got it done. But, no, it's pretty cool to see Coach Hill's excitement after the play along with the sideline. It kind of stinks because the only camera view we got of the sideline was our DV Sport film. We didn't get to see it on the broadcast, which I wanted to see the guys go crazy, but I was laying flat on my back after I made the throw. I kind of took a lick and just cranked my neck up a little bit, just enough to see the referee throw his hands up, and I put my head back down like, wow, I can't believe that just happened.
Hey, Stone, this is Mike Murphy. I want to talk about how calm, cool, and collected you and the rest of the offense was, because you didn't have Javon Williams Jr. You had Elliott banged up, you know, other guys hurt, people playing with casts on their hands. But there was just this, I guess call it mojo or something, that you guys were just kind of in a groove, even when you fell behind 14-0.
Yeah, and it's funny, I was reading Jay Hill, their head coach's press conference after the game, and he said they felt like they should have gone up 3 or 4 scores a couple times during the game, and I can't believe I read that, because we didn't feel that way. I kind of personally put us in a hole early on, spotted them probably 14 points that we shouldn't have, with a quick 3-and-out and the interception that they probably should have called the offsides on. But no, we were confident the whole way, and it was cool to see it carry over from, 2 weekends ago, putting up 55 points. But yeah, we're definitely in a groove, and we're definitely confident when whoever's in the backfield, Justin, Romier, or Javon, we just feel like, you know, we have the pieces and we have the confidence and all the play calls are coming in correct and we're all confident in the game plan and everything like that. But so much poise, so much comfort back there. It's pretty cool to see offense clicking the way it is.
Well, you had the shootout with, you know, Southeast Louisiana, and now you have the big come from behind, and people talk about the different ways you win ball games. It doesn't really matter just so long as you win. But this was one of those dramatic on the road, in the playoffs, in a place where people don't usually come and win. And so you guys kind of stockpiled all the impossibles into one big Rubik's Cube, and they walked out of there shaking their head, and you guys walked out of there going to the second round.
No, absolutely. And I'm pretty sure they had won 11 straight at home. And there were a lot of people there. And I said this in a few interviews, but no, that's my favorite part. Me and Zach Dabrowski down on the opposite 10-yard line when Raquan Lindsey brings him down on that last sack. And just to stand up and just to have every single Weber State fan just staring at us. And we just got a chance to wave goodbye at him because, yeah, I mean, we did what nobody really expected us to do. And it was awesome. It was awesome. I love that feeling. I love that feeling, nobody having faith and nobody having confidence in us. And you mentioned it earlier, just having poise and a certain mojo. I felt like we carried that with us. But, yeah, did what nobody expected us to do. That's my favorite part about this game.
Talking to Saluki quarterback Stone Labanowitz. So that fake field goal, that touchdown throw that Nico threw to Stewart there, did you see that coming? And when it happened, what was your reaction?
Heck no, I did not see it coming. So I tried to get to the pylon on that third down, And I remember walking pretty slow to get back to that 15-yard box. And I met with the quarterbacks, and I'm talking about, damn, guys, you know, what'd you guys see here? And me and Zach Zabrowski and Nick Baker and Correa are talking to each other about what we saw. And I'm standing there with my hands on my hips, breathing heavy. And then all of a sudden, I see everyone's body language on our sideline start to change. And I turn my head, and there's one of my best friends looking goofy standing there catching that ball. And I'm just like, no way, that did not just happen. And I ran over to Petrino, our special teams guy, and was like, dude, I had no clue. And he shoved me. And we were absolutely electric on the sideline. And I don't know if you guys know the story about Cole getting there.
Yeah, we were going to ask you about that, yeah.
Yeah, so he tested positive on Thursday morning, which is when we were supposed to fly out. I mean, he's fully vaccinated. He does not have COVID at all, and we knew that. So it was unfortunate. And we made the flight without him, and he was sending us messages to the team, you know, go get it done, boys. And we all sent him back, we got you, buddy, we got you. Just more motivation, stack it on top. And he's calling the COVID hotline. He's calling the NCAA, like, making it all happen. His parents buy him a plane ticket. His parents had been there since Wednesday. We come back from walkthrough on Friday from Utah State, and there he is sitting in the lobby of the hotel.
Ta-da!
yeah, and it was so cool, you know, because honestly, I don't think we'd call that fake if he's not there. He's the guy we'd run that fake with every day in practice and when we practice it and stuff, so I don't know what you call that. I guess destiny. But no, for him to have made it there, it's a huge impact on us, confidence-wise. And he put 7 on the board for us. Him and Nico combined for 7 there. And you could argue it's probably the most important 7 because it's a big momentum swing. We took the lead.
Well, and I said to Mike, you know, before we came on here, that was the point I thought I knew we were going to win. I said, if we're pulling plays like that off and then you know, holding them to 3 after giving up the ball on the 3-yard line, if we're holding them to a field goal, yeah, we're winning this one. That's how I felt. And, you know, and sure enough, you get the W and you get a rematch with South Dakota State. And, yeah, they thumped us a few months ago, but this is a playoff football in April. This is uncharted territory here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. Uncharted territory. And I think we're going to carry that chip on our shoulders. We're guaranteed going to be the underdogs going into Brookings. And I hope as many people can get there as possible. I know they like to turn it up and get pretty loud. So huge opportunity. Uncharted territory for us. Maybe not for them. They're in the playoffs every year. But we're ready for it, to say the least. I think, like I said, a huge opportunity for us. And I don't think we let it slip. I've used that phrase a few times the past few weeks, and it's worked out. But we're ready to play. And it's funny, you know, Coach Hill is into giving big speeches and you know, these big inspirational speeches before game days and stuff like that. But he hasn't been doing that the past few weeks and the past few months because he tells us why, that he has confidence, that he knows we're going to go out and play hard. He tells us all the time that opposing coaches come off the field after games and tell us, man, I just love how your guys played with so much effort. We give so much effort regardless of the score. So I think you get the Salukis all this Saturday or this Sunday night. Like, you'll get every ounce of blood, sweat, and tears from us. That's for darn sure.
And don't you think too, Stone, I've talked about this, when you've, and maybe you've been in a game where you've completely dominated another team, and it doesn't matter all through the week what the coaches tell you, it doesn't matter what's on social media, it doesn't matter if you're the expert's pick, but you kind of overlook that team, and you guys are in a perfect, I mean, you're in their blind spot. It doesn't matter that you upset Weber State on the road and knocked off the number 3. You're still in their blind spot because of what they did earlier in the season, and they're probably looking past you.
No, I love it. I love it. I love that you pointed it out because, I mean, that's what we see. We see. I mean, they're probably, the way they're playing and the way they got seeded, the number 1 team in the country right now. And all the articles I was reading last week were that Weber State was looking past us, and they were looking to, they were upset that they weren't going to be able to host South Dakota State and stuff. So we felt like they were looking past us, and we slapped them in the mouth. And yeah, I love the phrase you use, blind spot. It's exactly where we're sitting. It's funny, we're dogs sitting in the blind spot, so that's pretty cool. But I mean, we know that, right? They are probably looking past us the way they're playing, and we'll bite them for sure.
Talking to Stone Labanowicz, as physical as that game was on Saturday, and I'm sure as exhausted as you guys were after the game, you know, the adrenaline rush of winning a game like that, and even coming back to Carbondale and, you know, getting back to business on a Sunday, I got to think in some weird, probably not in a medical journal type way, if you do have some aches and pains and some dings, a win like this can rejuvenate you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we just had a pool workout with our strength and conditioning guy, Coach Mead. And he was asking us how banged up we were and stuff like that. But we were happy and we were giddy to be this banged up. I'd probably feel the worst I felt after a football game in my whole career.
Wow.
But just getting all the kinks out. I went and sat in the hot tub and the cold tub, and everybody's just putting so much energy into recovery and all this and that, and we're going to get some running in tomorrow and stuff. But no, you're exactly right. We feel rejuvenated regardless of what everybody's body feel like. And it's funny, I've been joking with the trainers too. Last time we played South Dakota State, we dropped like flies. There's like 8 or 10 of us injured. And the trainers are making jokes like, hey, if you guys do the exact opposite of what you did last time against them, we get nobody injured and we win, and that's the goal. But, yeah, I mean, we have a different energy about us right now with it, for sure.
Yeah, and plus, Stone, you get an extra day. You're not playing Saturday. You're playing Sunday night.
I know it. ESPN2, baby. National television. I don't know what more you can ask for. Everyone who's got jobs and all this is going to be sitting on their behind on their living room couch, and if they're not there, I think it's a huge opportunity to showcase everything we've been working on in this crazy year. Hopefully we can keep it going for weeks.
Had a big crowd at Weber, biggest crowd you played in front of this year. And with the second round, NCAA has expanded the capacity limit. So 50% of the house, we could see, what, somewhere in the 7,000 range coming up this Sunday night in Brookings.
That's awesome. And we watch film when we're preparing for North Dakota State and when we're preparing for South Dakota State. When they play each other in Brookings, it just looks electric. It looks like you can hear it through the film. The muted film, you can hear it. And hopefully that's the atmosphere we get. I was just talking to Bryson Strong in the pool today. And, man, it doesn't take much to get that kid going, but I had mentioned that we bumped it up to the 50% capacity. And just the smile on his face after I said it, he just lit up, and he was like, oh, yeah? And I was like, oh, yeah. And he just looked so excited for that. And I'm like, man, that ain't even a part of the game. And he's like, dude, that's a part of the game, baby. Bring that on. So, I mean, we see that as a – fun for us too. I mean, dude, I love being out there on third downs. And I was watching the broadcast over with a couple of the buddies yesterday on lunchtime of the Weber game, and on that last drive the announcers were walking out, we break the huddle, and they had, I don't know what song they had going, they had the We Ready song coming out, and I'm just like smiling. I'm like, I didn't even notice that was playing, but this atmosphere is electric. We went and just disappointed every single Weber State fan and every single Weber State kid on the sideline. They thought they were ready. They weren't ready at all. We were.
Awesome stuff. So, okay, so I'm going to put you in the Jackrabbit shoes here. Okay, if you're John Stiegelmein, you're preparing for another game with Southern coming up this Sunday night. What's the one thing that the Jackrabbits absolutely cannot do against the Salukis coming up this Sunday night?
I don't want to answer that.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Yeah, we don't know who's listening on the streaming side of 103.5 ESPN.
Exactly.
They could have us on out there right now.
I wasn't trying to trap you, but
the secret recipe. What are you doing?
wasn't trying to trap you on that one, I swear. But but no, we know that South Dakota State, they're very businesslike, and they're not. I don't think they're worried about us as much as they need to play their game. And it doesn't matter who you play or where you play, programs like that, you've got to get them out of their rhythm. You got to get them out of their comfort zone, somehow. And it feels like we've had enough wrinkles in our game the last few weeks that I would be a little concerned if I'm South Dakota State, because this is not the team that they thumped a few weeks ago.
Well, I love it. You're spot on. You are spot on with that. As far as them being businesslike and probably not too worried about what we're going to do. I guarantee you that's what their coach is telling them, right? We're going to play our ball our way and have it no other way. And that's exactly where we want to be because, right, there are plenty of wrinkles that we have for them. And on top of the confidence we're riding on right now, so that's a great way to put it. They are going to try to play their game, and that's to their disadvantage, to be completely honest. So I love that.
I want to ask you this. Of course, Nico threw the touchdown pass on the fake field goal there, becoming the fifth Saluki to throw a touchdown pass this season. Who is going to be number six? Who's the next best candidate that can throw a touchdown pass for this team if we need to?
Ooh, I got a couple for you. Maybe Jack Calhoun?
That's who I was going to guess. That Australia rules football, baby.
I don't know that there's forward passes in the footy. There's like those, that, you know, that little bump pass that they do. But I mean, I guess that would be a legal pass as long as it's forward. You know, you can pull one of those off.
So I say Jack Calhoun, but, you know, when we do special teams, a lot of the times the quarterbacks get to watch it because we'll finish our individual drills early. And Jack's balls don't look too pretty. He don't look like he's ever been taught to throw a football. But, hey, if it gets there, it gets there. It's either him or Avante. That'd be my other
I was going to – man, we must be psychic,
Stone. I would hope Avante could
I was going to say Avante because if you throw it to him on an end around or something, pitch it to him or whatever, and everybody's watching for him to turn the corner, and then he stops and lofts that baby down. And, Stone, just go down the other sideline. That could be you, baby, catching that TD pass.
Here you guys go again, giving up the trick plays. How do you guys not know that's one of ours already?
Sorry. Well, yeah. We don't want to give away the Rochester special here.
Right.
So let's put the kibosh on that.
Right.
But, Stone, thanks again for joining us. Best of luck coming up this Sunday night in South Dakota State. You're still as jacked up about this as I thought you would be, and I'm glad to hear it. Continue to have a good week of practice, and let's go do this thing on Sunday night.
Stay in that blind spot, baby.
Oh, I love it. Don't let these dogs get hot, baby.
All right.
Love it.
See you, Stone.
Good stuff there. Stone Labanowitz there.